Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Who provide the latest information in health research and patient care. Visit us at heartbeatradio.org.
KSJE is now visual radio. I'm Scott Micklin. Now you can hear and see my guests weekday mornings at 8. The choice is yours. Listen at 90.9 FM or streaming at ksje.com or watch the program on Facebook or YouTube. Visual radio only on KSJE Farmington. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 6th day of May, 2024. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the airwaves here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet and want to tune us in and hear what we're up to, just go to our website at ksje.com. I also want to welcome our viewers this morning. Video of this program is out streaming to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. So glad that you are all with us this morning. Coming up this morning here on KSJE, it is a special morning here because I get to present my honor students to you this morning. They are all here to give you their presentations. We have students from my mass media class and other students from my public speaking classes. So they'll be on the air with me in the next few moments right here on KSJE with their presentations. And then, of course, Mick Hess is going to take us roving with the arts. That's coming up next hour after the news at 9:06 on KSJE, our weekday classical music program. We remind you that you can connect with us on our X accounts and also our Instagram page, in addition to Facebook and YouTube. And if you're a podcast person, you can listen and subscribe to KSJE podcasts. They're available where you're already listening to podcasts. So check it out and maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's currently sunny on this Monday morning, 40 degrees at the moment. Winds have calmed down a lot from last night, but they're expected to pick up again today. Today's forecast calls for mostly sunny skies, but gusty winds. We could see wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour this afternoon with a high of 55 degrees in Farmington today. 38 with winds continuing overnight tonight, then tomorrow another windy day, but warmer with a high of 66 on Tuesday. The winds will stay with us Tuesday night with a low of 38 degrees before things calm down, with a sunny day forecast for Wednesday and a high of 55 degrees, sunshine 64 on Thursday, 68 by Friday, and 69 degrees with plenty of sunshine on Saturday. I'll be back with my honors students right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care.
And back at Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, my honors students from the spring semester here at San Juan College. It's the final days of the spring semester, and we're going to hear from them this morning, starting off with Juan Torres. He is a student in my Survey of Mass Media class, and Juan is here with his honors presentation. So Juan, whenever you're ready to start.
Thank you so much, Mr. Micklin. Yeah, when you assigned me this project for your class, you assigned me a research paper, and I was supposed to go out and research a mass media topic that is going to be changing over the past 3 to 5 years. And one of the projects or the topics I chose was for movies, because I found that one interesting, because there's not a lot you can do with movies when you're changing them throughout the years. They have a very steady flow to things. But the things I found out is they might be the way they target their ads or maybe putting out their trailers and stuff to the public might be different, and they might be turning a lot more towards social media than just your average streaming platforms like Netflix or whatever you go to watch your movies at home. The one of those websites, I forget the name, we're talking about the way they use targeted ads. They might target you or send you emails about it just so they know they can get a guaranteed buyer to go to the shows and watch this. This is when I read up on that, this was very interesting because I never knew you could use that, or when people use that, they when they send you stuff, it's only based on what you're watching. If you're subscribed to a YouTube channel, they'll notify you on that. I think it would be better if they go through their emails and stuff like that, because they will get a guaranteed buyer. One of the struggles, though, when I was researching this and trying to figure out what actually will change, because a lot of the changes we are seeing or that are coming already kind of are here, because we see them branching out to these different websites and these different social medias. Finding out what actually will change in 3 years was different, and I think movies are going to start adapting to the more streaming style of the way Twitch uses it, or even other streaming platforms like Facebook, where they might pop in an ad here or there. I hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, people with the way they want money. But other than that, the only other thing that I had found on this topic was that sometimes when production teams are going through the way that they're presenting or the way that they want to put out their trailers, they want to go and put sneak peeks. But what I what a lot of big production teams or like some video games or stuff, they'll have leakers or people will put out information that shouldn't be out there, and it'll really hype it up. So I think we'll see a lot of that. I'm hoping so, because if you see some stuff and it'll really get them hyped up, like, oh, this is coming, this will be there. But sometimes maybe if it's fake, it'll die, like kind of kill off the vibe or the hype that is running around the system. So yeah, that is my honors topic for this class, my research project for movies. I hope you guys did enjoy. Thank you so much for having me on, Mr. Micklin. And yeah, it was nice doing this research project.
Very good. Thank you for being here this morning. Very good. Thank you very much. Juan Torres from my Survey of Mass Media class, and moving on now to the remaining students who are all from my two public speaking classes held this spring semester. And so our next student, ready with his presentation, his honor speech, Matthias Francis is here. Matthias, we're ready for you whenever you would like to start.
Yes, I will be informing my audience about the effects of alcohol. I will be going over the 3 points: how alcohol absorbs into the body and the long-term risk, how alcohol is a depressant and why people use it as a coping mechanism, substance, and withdrawal from alcohol. Alcohol has been around for hundreds and thousands of years. Alcohol is made from fruits, grains, and corn that is fermented and mixed with yeast. People enjoy an alcoholic beverage such as wine with their meals. Others may enjoy a nice cold beer after a long hot day. Others may also enjoy a alcoholic beverage just to cope with their daily lives. Alcohol use has long-term risk when consumed inappropriately. Alcohol can also affect the vital organs in the body over time with continuous drinking. When alcohol is used inappropriately, over time the conditions may appear to which, oh my goodness. An individual who decides to quit drinking drinking alcohol affects everyone differently. We may share some common traits such as feeling dizzy, feeling nauseated, may become aggressive, or become intoxicated. Alcohol, when consumed, is processed throughout the body. The small intestines absorb most of the alcohol into the bloodstream. And drug abuse and use stated, nevertheless, most of the alcohol that is consumed must pass from the stomach into the small intestines for rapid absorption to occur. This is by far the most common way humans absorb alcohol. Where the liver tries to filter out most of the alcohol and toxins come along with it. An intoxicating chemical called ethanol is released into the brain. This causes fine motor impairments such as touch, visual, poor coordination, slurred speech, and memory recall. Over time, by continuous drinking, the body begins to build a tolerance. When the body builds a tolerance, the individual will need to consume more or in larger quantities to get intoxicated. And drug abuse in use stated, because protracted functional far outspaces disposable tolerance and the person becomes more susceptible to serious health and other consequences of heavy drinking consumption. By numerous drinking, vital organs will become damaged and irreversible. The heart, liver, and kidneys are responsible for filtering out toxins in the body. When the liver and kidneys start to shut down, the individual may develop diseases such as cirrhosis of the liver, kidney disease, heart disease, and/or diabetes. Alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol slows down the central nervous system, which causes the individual's feelings, thoughts, and behaviors. Alcohol slows down the body's functions such as slowing down heart rate, slurred speech, relaxed muscle movement, cognitive and memory impairment, respiratory depression. In an article, Alcohol Withdrawal by Richard Kay and others stated, when the depressant is stopped, the central nervous system becomes overexcited as inhibition takes away or taken away. Thus, the body gets excitedly overloaded, which results in the systematic withdrawal. A person may develop drinking large amounts of alcohol daily that they may run to drinking to cope with their daily struggles. Daily struggles such as dealing with emotional or physical trauma, such as verbal abuse or physical abuse, financial troubles, depression, or anxiety. There are several and multiple reasons why a person may use or abuse alcohol. When deciding to quit drinking alcohol, the body will go through withdrawal in different phases. During recovery, the body may develop headaches, feel nauseated, tremors, anxiety, or panic attacks, experience hallucinations and/or seizures. In conclusion, alcohol affects everyone differently and share common traits. When consuming alcohol, the body has a natural filters to keep toxins out of our body. The vital organs that are damaged can be healed, but severe damages can be irreversible. Damaged organs could lead to other serious diseases in the body. Individuals using or abusing alcohol to avoid life struggles could ruin a person's life. When recovering alcohol abuse, the body will go through withdrawal struggles that could impact the person's recovering spirit or personality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Next, let's go to Brenda Charlie, who is here to give her honors presentation. So whenever you're ready to go.
Hello. Good morning. Imagine there was something that can improve focus, can be a stress reduction, benefit sensory stimulation, benefits fine motor skills development, and a cell soothing. Well, there is something for that. This is other than medication or expensive machine gadget. It's called a fidget toy. If you're unfamiliar with what a fidget toy is, it's a specifically designed tool that spins, pops, or offer other ways to keep your hands busy. They come in a wide range of styles, colors, and movement options to fit specific fidgeting needs, says Kimberly D. and Tracy P., who wrote the article, The 10 Best Fidget Toys of 2022. Today, I'm going to go over 3 points informing you about fidget toys. The first point is going to be the history of fidget toys. The second point is the benefits of fidget toys on your mental health. And the last point is the way they can be used in a variety of helpful situations. My first point is about history of fidget toys. Fidget toys have been with us for over 3 decades. They made their first appearance in the 1990s with stress balls. Stress balls were first used in the 90s by Catherine Hedinger, where she used her invention to help children who had attention disorders. I knew of fidget toys, but I didn't consider a stress ball a fidget toy. I saw it as something that was used medically. But the first interaction I had with a fidget toy was a fidget spinner when I was in 7th grade. Unknowingly, this was another creation of Catherine Hedinger's inventions, I learned from bomo.com. Another early example of a fidget toy is the bounding ball, which are two metal balls that you rotate within your hand in a circular motion. This originated from the traditional Chinese medicine, says the website boundingballs.com, that was prescribed health measures because it kept you occupied, or in Chinese cultures, to keep your hands out of trouble. Now today, they are used for improving focus, stress reduction, sensory stimulation, development motor skills, and self-soothing that I mentioned in my introduction. On to my next point about benefits of fidget toys towards your mental health. The types of disorders that fidget toys benefits are anxiety, ADHD, and ASD, autism spectrum disorder, and is also an outlet for stress reduction. Since I started working with children through the education system, I have come to realize that Pop-Its are the most popular fidget toys to be used. Some others are squishy balls, foam squishy objects, fidget cubes, slime, magnets, and stretchable toys. Not only do they benefit your mental health, but benefit your pockets by this being your affordable toy for some people could be an affordable outlet. I say these toys can be affordable because you can find these at the Dollar Tree or now the $1.25 tree. Another affordable fidget can be found at Walmart, Target, Amazon, or Dollar General. Fidget toys really benefit mindfulness and meditation. I believe this because I got to experience this while visiting other schools in Colorado around Durango. Some of the schools that I've seen fidget toys used in is Silverton and the Montessori School in Durango. In these schools, they incorporate fidget toys with it being a calming, recovering area for students that get overwhelmed and upset. I now use this method in my own classroom with my students who have little trouble settling down or calming down. I try to have my students understand that this is important to take time to yourself, and being calm and quiet can be relaxing just as important as nap time is. My last thought is how they can be helpful in situations. In situations where I get too overstimulated with them, this is the time where I use Pop-Its as a meditation. I do this after PM snack and before PM snack is nap time, so this just gives them another opportunity to collect themselves from just waking up instead of jumping into a learning activity or doing something energetic. The reason why I like meditating with my students is because of the positive outcomes that come with it. From mindworks.org, an article titled Meditation for Students, it says, and I quote, "Several studies suggest that students who practice mindfulness tend to develop positive traits such as increased self-control, better alternatives in class, along with managing challenging conditions with stress, depression, ADHDs, and hyperactivity. Not only is this benefiting young children, but can also apply to adults too, if they're open-minded enough to try a fidget toy. In conclusion, I hope I got to inform you on my 3 points about fidget toys. With the first point, the history of fidget toys, the second point, the benefits of fidget toys on your mental health, and the last point, the way they can be used in a variety of helpful situations. Instead of paying for your therapist, invest in a fidget toy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very, very much. And thank you all three for being my first guest this morning. We'll take a short break. Three more students are on their way in to join us for the rest of the program. We'll be back with more right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the Family Crisis Center, presenting an important conference about human trafficking, Wednesday, May 29th at the Farmington Civic Center. The conference is free. The goals of the conference are to bring awareness to the community about sex and labor trafficking, identify significant indicators of human trafficking, and provide help for those who may have experienced trafficking. Law enforcement, counseling, social work, nursing, or those in the legal field are encouraged to attend. Find out more at familycrisiscenternm.org.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Hess, your host for Roving with the Arts here on KSJE 90.9. Please join me every weekday starting at 9 a.m. for the chance to hear full-length, unabridged opera, ballet, symphonic, and chamber music. I'll share news of local concert events that you may be interested in attending, background information about some of the greatest musical compositions ever written. Tune in weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10:30.
Yade, journey with Native art voices of the Four Corners and me, Vinaya Yazi, where we will trek into the Native artist's dialogue and narrative. Together, we will take a glimpse into the art process and the lives of the Navajo, Apache, Ute, and Pueblo artists living within Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico. Tune in every third Thursday of the month at 9:30 a.m. or find podcast episodes. Native art voices of the Four Corners, great artist stories are the journey of art in the Four Corners.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910.
Hi, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin.
And I'm Jenny Lee Ryan.
And guess what time it is?
It's time for the 0 Mile Fun Run.
Join us at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, May 18th at San Juan College Learning Commons Plaza.
Get your shirt now at ksje.com/funrun. They're $15 before the race or $20 the day of the race.
And a race is in air quotes. Join us May 18th, Saturday, the KSJE 0 Mile Fun Run.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the legacy of Sigmund Freud.
Freud changed how we think about ourselves, once and for all.
But his theories were completely unscientific, not to mention sexist and patriarchal.
It sounds like you're harboring some resentment toward Freud. You want to talk about it?
I'll just repress my feelings until the show.
The legacy of Freud, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Listen to Philosophy Talk every Tuesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington. Helping you find your way, this is The Beacon, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners, KSJE, Farmington, 90.9 FM.
And back in Studio A this morning, I'm Scott Micklin. This morning we are hearing from my honors students as we wrap up the spring semester here at San Juan College. We have more of my public speaking honors student presentations to give and present to you this morning. So without any further ado, our next student ready to go is Luke Collins, who is here with the presentation. And whenever you're ready to start, thank you.
Picture waking up on a ship you've been on for the past 5 months in a sweltering, overcrowded room. The unease of the rocking fills your stomach as you make your way down floors long rotted from water damage. When it rains, it leaks, inside the housing and inside the electrical system, causing common power outages, leaving you in the dark with nothing but tiny portholes that don't illuminate sharp furniture corners or disgusting puddles of mystery sludge. To me, this sounds like a colonial-era prison or slave ships, but this was life on the Vernon C. Bain Correctional Facility in New York that opened in 1992. I learned about this facility very recently when I watched a movie that very casually mentioned the prison barge, and I spent the following weeks researching the Vernon C. Bain Correctional Facility. Today, I will explain what this prison barge was, how much it cost to construct and keep it running, as well as an overview of the conditions on the ship. New York City had steep prison overcrowding due to mass incarceration for mostly drug offenses. The city decided to build and open the Vernon C. Bain Correctional Facility. It's often referred to as the prison barge by people familiar with it. A barge is just a wide-bottom ship meant for transport, like a shipping container barge, which this facility was designed to look like. More specifically, it looked like randomly stacked cargo containers so it could be mistaken for just a cargo barge. Mayor Ed Koch was very aware of people's displeasure with seeing prisons, and according to the New York Times, he thought prison barges were the future. He was quoted during a speech talking about opponents of the barge. He said, "Would you rather have these people walking around in your neighborhood or be in jail on a barge in your neighborhood?" The barge was intended to be temporary extra space facility until Rikers Island inmate population declined, which already started happening when the barge opened. It did end up closing in 1995 because the population had declined enough, but it reopened 3 years later in 1998 as a juvenile detention facility, which it would remain as until 2000. Then it returned to housing adult inmates and remained open until last year, 2023. For nearly 30 years the ship was operating, it had been surrounded with controversy over the cost of construction and maintenance. In 1992, the New York Times reported the opening of, quote, "New York's most expensive jail, with a price tag of $161 million to build, plus an additional $9 million to prepare a dock site. The project was $35 million over budget, and the total, after getting adjusted for inflation today, is about $385 million. The article also quotes the chairman of the Board of Corrections at the time saying, "This should be our last barge. They're too expensive and too uncertain." And it was, at least for now, the last one the city built, and all others closed before it. In 2019, the Times published another article titled, "A Floating Jail Was Supposed to Be Temporary." That was 27 years ago. The article states the barge cost $24 million a year to operate. And one might expect a high price tag means high-quality facilities, but like many American prisons, that is not the case. The ship has only been closed because of New York's initiative to replace the current correctional system, and that process involves closing both the barge and eventually Rikers Island. Many sources I've encountered have compared it to a slave ship, one where you can feel the rocking water beneath you. And Kenneth Williams, a man incarcerated on the barge, recalls, "You could feel the boat dropping into the muck. It was a stark reminder that this place wasn't meant for human confinement." In the years right before it closed, the barge had drawn negative attention for inmate deaths. Associated Press reported in 2021, a man named Stephen Cadu died from a treatable form of meningitis contracted from rodents while he was awaiting trial. He was the 12th inmate to die that year in New York City facilities. In 2022, Gregory Acevedo jumped from the top of the ship to his death after being on the ship for 7 months on a robbery charge. He was the 15th New York City inmate to die that year. The Vernon C. Bain Correctional Center was part of a cultural resurgence of maritime jails thanks to the war on drugs, but their use dates back to the Revolutionary War. It was also one of many correctional facilities with horrific living conditions where inmates are only allowed to get 1 hour of sunlight a day. It was a prison barge opened from 1992 to 2023, designed to look like cargo containers. Accounting for inflation, it cost $385 million to build and $24 million annually, but it was criticized, like many prisons, for inhumane living conditions. The first step to changing systematic issues in our country, like the prison system, is learning about things that were designed to stay hidden, like the Vernon C. Bain Correctional Center. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Lou Collins, appreciate it very much, and you're on your way to take a test, so good luck to you with that. So we'll let you get out of here and sneak out of here while we go to our next honor student who is ready for her presentation. Honey Graham-Diaz is here with her presentation. Honey, we are ready for you whenever you are ready to start.
Hello. Good morning, Farmington. I am here to bring community awareness to the Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary. As an active person in the community, Carol Sanchez was approached in 2014 to help rescue two senior wolf dogs named Zeus and Athena. She rallied around the community to build an enclosure for the pair and thus starting the Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary. Wolf dogs are the family of canids, the first genetic ancestry with wolves and domestic dogs. Carol believes that the wolf dogs are special spiritual animals that are misunderstood. Today we are letting you know how the latest wolf dog was rescued, how the wolf dogs are cared for, and what plans are being discussed for the future of the wolf dogs in this sanctuary. The newest member of the pack came to the rescue in a story covered by KOB News in Albuquerque. The story starts in the East Sandia Mountains in February of this year when Benjamin Silva from the Bernalillo County Animal Care received a call that there was a dog resembling a wolf in the neighborhood that was stealing things from people's property, stealing packages off of people's porches, and looking for people in through people's windows. The animal was not aggressive, but you could see how that would be a little intimidating to people. This is the story how Amazon Tom was detained and later came to live with other wolf dogs in the Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary here in San Juan County. Carol Sanchez, founder and main caregiver to the wolf dogs at the sanctuary, states that Amazon showed to be about 2 to 3 years old at the time and weighed 100 pounds. We absolutely love him, and we're going to do the very best we can to care for him, just like we do for the rest of our pack. This is just one story of how many of the wolf dogs came to the Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary. At the site of the sanctuary, the current enclosures are approximately 1,200 feet for each pair, usually paired as male and female. Each enclosure has a large shelter arid from wet weather. The kennels are constructed from 10-gauge chain link fence, 8 feet high. Wolf dogs are fed Missouri exotic canine kibble for breakfast and donated meat when available. Kennels are cleaned daily, and just as with every other canine, doctor visits are no exception. With the summer months, Carol and other volunteers are preparing to change location from here in San Juan County to an 80-plus acre parcel of land in Arriba County, where the wolf dog kennels are planning to go from 1,200 feet to 3,600 square feet with a 6-foot barrier between each of the kennels. The Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary is continuously striving to give the wolves the best quality of life possible with the federal and state guidelines and resources available. This is just an overview of the protection and care that is provided in protecting the wolf dogs that are rescued, how the wolf dogs are cared for, and what plans we are discussing for the future of the wolf dogs in the sanctuary. The ways that the community members can help is by visiting the Secondhand Wolf in San Juan Plaza. All proceeds from the Secondhand Wolf thrift store and gift shop directly benefit the nonprofit Four Corners Wolf Dog Rescue Sanctuary. Donations are needed and accepted of Missouri exotic canine kibble, any freezer meat, freezer burn is fine, and the store accepts household items, please no large items, and volunteers are always needed for care as well as working on site for projects and in the store. Though cash is always accepted at this location. Please, everyone be safe and have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your presentation. I appreciate it very much. And now we're going to hear from one of my other students. Sally North is here with her honors presentation. Sally, good morning, and whenever you're ready.
Good morning. Thank you, Scott. The perfect pink skies kiss the ocean's horizon. The gentle crash of waves greet your toes buried under the soft sand, warmed by the rays of the tropical sun. Loving dialogue shared with your partner and the best pina colada you have ever tasted. You grab your phone to capture the time engulfing your senses with a photo, not wanting to forget this moment. Although you have a photo to display this memory on your mantle, over the years you may forget the loving words your partner shared with you, how the warm sand was the blissful blanket spread over your toes, or how amazing the notes of coconut were in that pina colada. I have the answer to how you can preserve each precious detail that a photo cannot offer. A journal. I am here today to give knowledge on three main points of journaling. First, I will address how an individual can start journaling, turning the page to the importance found in journal keeping, and lastly, ending the chapter with the benefits of journal writing. Much more than mere words on paper, journaling is a canvas where thoughts, emotions, and aspirations take shape. Whether you are drawn to explore your innermost musings, capture fleeting moments, or embark on a journey of self-discovery, the art of journaling provides a versatile pathway to understanding, healing, and transformation. This was said by Kristen Webb W. in The Basics of Journaling, an article found on onedayapp.com. Whilst all that may sound overwhelming and appear to be a lot of work, let me break it down into steps. This will help make the start of journaling more manageable. First, get a journal. Find what works best for you. Maybe you don't like writing on paper. You can look into a journal typed out on a computer. Even opening notes in your phone and journaling that way works. Secondly, decide the purpose. What are you wanting to get from journaling? There are many journal writing options: free writing, gratitude journaling, dream logging, reflective journaling, or just daily journal writing. Using journaling prompts may ignite what you want to write about. Examples of prompts to start your journal writing might look like: what are you grateful for in this moment? How would you describe yourself to others? And name two great aspects of the week. Consistency is the next step. It is key in growth of journal writing. You don't have to write full paragraphs or even full sentences. Leave a doodle, a quote, or a favorite phrase. Start small. Just write every day. Starting small will grow into eagerness to get to your journal, to write about the day you had, or perhaps a moment experience that you don't want to be forgotten. Now for the fourth step, the most important: let go of all expectations. The Norton Field Guide to Writing, 6th edition, is a book used in my English class of my first semester. It states, the goal is to generate ideas. Let yourself wander without censoring yourself or fretting that your writing is incorrect, incomplete, or incoherent. It's okay. Journals are private. You are the only audience, so you can feel free to write whatever comes to mind. Doodle it, draw it, keep clippings or scraps of papers between the pages. Make it personalized to who you are. Now turning the page to what importance journaling holds. Journaling wasn't even a mere thought in my mind until August 2022 when I started my first semester in college. It was in my FYEX class with Richie Christie did I learn the importance of journaling. Utilizing on-course strategies for creating success in college, career, and life helped me understand why one would start journaling. Through this, I found my strengths and targeted areas that needed improvement in my life. In Ms. Christie's syllabus under course level objectives, journaling held the first spot. She stated, many students come to regard their personal journals as one of their most valued possessions. It is because of Richie Christie that I started and currently am journaling. Being able to write my thoughts out and process them in my writing, I became more comfortable in sharing the reflections of myself that once debilitated my being. I was given the opportunity to do this in Elizabeth Phelps' class. She gave me a safe place to share a traumatic event that rooted me to negative concepts and doubts. I was capable of flourishing in a place that felt so desolate because I found journaling and the healing process embedded in it. I found my strength in that moment of sharing. Journaling helps control your symptoms and improve your mood by helping you prioritize problems, fears, and concerns. Tracking any symptoms day to day so that you can recognize triggers and learn ways to better control them. Providing an opportunity for positive self-talk, identifying negative thoughts and behavior. This was found on universityofrochestermedicalcenter.edu. The thing with journaling is to not use it as just a tool of documenting negative events of our lives, turning them this way and another, but to work through them, understanding the meaning behind them, the lessons learned, and the ways of moving on from them, as said by zengilf.com. Now that we have addressed the importance of journaling, I'd like to speak on the benefits of journal keeping. ShakaTribe.com explains, the practice of journaling has been shown to improve cognitive health along with well-being in numerous scientific studies. Journaling provides a holistic approach to enhancing our mental health, cognitive capacities, increased working memory, self-reflection, and personal growth, providing a boost in creativity and problem-solving skills as well. In closing, I'd like to leave you with this. Whether a handwritten journal or composed on a computer, keep all journal entries together in one book or file. One day, many years from now, you will have the autobiography of growing wisdom and life. A journal will only work if you work it. It is not you, it is you, not the journal, who is the magic here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you both, and we will take a short break. There's more to come, everyone. Back with more of my honor students and their presentations as we wrap up the 2024 spring semester right after this on KSJE.
I'm John Leanhard with the Engines of Our Ingenuity. Every day we talk about human invention and creativity in science, technology, and the arts. We talk about all the drama and intrigue, insight and personal conviction that constantly bubble just below the surface of a world built by human hands. We honor complexity at the same time we keep things understandable. Do join me. We'll have a lot of fun together.
Weekdays at 5:45 on KSJE.
Hey everyone, it's your host for the World Beat Show, Scott Duran, and I want you to join me every Saturday at 11 a.m., where I take you on a journey around the world and show you traditional and modern style world beat music. Music from Africa, Spain, France, Japan, China, heck, even songs and artists from the United States itself. So join me every Saturday at 11 a.m. only on the KSJE 90.9 FM.
Make each day a learning experience with the Academic Minute and join us as we discover cutting-edge research from colleges and universities around the world. Tune in to broaden your understanding of the past and be the first to learn how today's innovations will transform our tomorrow. From the latest breakthrough in green technology to the discovery of humanity's oldest tools, you'll find it all on the Academic Minute.
Listen every weekday afternoon during the KSJE Evening News at 5:30.
Scott Duran here from the World Beat Show to remind you you're listening to the Four Corners only classical and jazz radio station, KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, and now 103.3 in Durango, Colorado. KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners.
And back in Studio A this morning, as I've been mentioning all morning, my guests this morning are my students from the spring semester here at San Juan College. We are wrapping up the spring semester, my goodness, because graduation is this Saturday, right? So they are in their last few days of classes in the spring semester, and for my honors students, part of their honors requirements is to present a speech here on the radio with me at the end of every semester. So we're ready for our next group of students, and this morning, Rayanne Pena is here to present her speech for us. And so, Rayanne, whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
Think about your pet. It could be a dog, a cat, or maybe a rabbit. These furry friends keep us company and bring us comfort in our times of sadness, and they bring us joy that maybe no human can. What if I told you that there are animals like our furry friends that are living in a lab in some of the worst conditions while constantly being poked, prodded, and burned? Well, this is the reality of animal testing. I try my best to shop cruelty-free. However, after researching this topic for the past couple of weeks, I will try even harder to make that a constant in my life. Companies all over the world use animals to test things like cosmetics and medications. According to People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, 110 million animals are killed in U.S. labs for biology lessons, medical training, curiosity-driven experimentation, and chemical, drug, food, and cosmetic testing. Today, I hope to inform you about the living conditions of these animals, the wounds they are subjected to, and lastly, I will tell you some ways that you can buy cruelty-free. Animals can range in all sizes from small, like mice or rabbits, to larger, like some dog breeds. No matter the size of the animal, they are usually kept in cages that are a few sizes too small for the animal. These cages are kept in dark rooms until they are taken out to be experimented on. According to the Humane Society of the United States, these animals live in barren cages and are typically killed when the experiment ends. These animals know nothing but confinement, pain, and loneliness for their whole lives. That is, until the experiment ends, and unfortunately so does the animal's life. Some animals are not even fed depending on what experiment the animal is subjected to. No living creature should be subjected to a living condition like this. But I'm sure if the animal could choose, they would choose the cage over the different types of wounds they are subjected to during experimentation. Companies use animal testing on anything from medications to cosmetics to cleaning products. Starting with animal testing on medication, these animals are used in hopes of having medicine or medical devices to be used for humans. Blood samples will be taken with most experiments involving medicine to monitor the medication in the bloodstream. For mice in one lab to take blood samples easily, their tails were cut off in sections by scissors, according to the National Anti-Vivisection Society, or NAVS. Another example of a medical device being tested on animals, according to NAVS, is a Labrador that had his heart stopped multiple times to test the efficiency of a pacemaker, causing the dog to lose blood flow to its paws. Switching to the animals that are used in cosmetic experimentation, when you are working with chemicals that are marketed to make you beautiful, it makes sense you would want to make sure that they are safe before selling them to people. But through my research, I've seen cosmetics have one of the worst injuries to animals. According to the Humane Society of the United States, skin and eye irritation tests is where chemicals are rubbed into the shaved skin or dripped into the eyes of restrained rabbits without any pain relief. These animals are put through so much pain in hopes of making humans more beautiful or more healthy. But is there a way to show companies that this is wrong? For my final point, I want to tell you a couple of ways to buy cruelty-free so that you can help put a stop to animal testing. The first is to look for the PETA or the Leaping Bunny emblems. If one of these emblems is on a piece of packaging, it means the company's products were investigated and cleared to be cruelty-free by PETA or the Leaping Bunny organization, both of which have very strict rules that the company must pass to have their logos on their packaging. The second way to shop cruelty-free is to research the company you are thinking of buying from. Search to see if there is any contradictory information and try to find out if the product is manufactured in a country where animal testing is a requirement for the product before it can be used on humans. Finally, if you don't want to research yourself because you don't know what you're looking for or are not sure what you're reading is true, many lists on the internet show which brands are cruelty-free for you. A list that is constantly being updated is one on a website called cruelty-freekitty.com. In conclusion, the reality of animal testing is a stark reminder of the suffering endured by countless innocent creatures in laboratories worldwide. From cramped cages to agonizing experiments, these animals face unimaginable horrors in the name of science and beauty. But we hold the power to make a difference through our choices as consumers. By choosing cruelty-free products and supporting companies that prioritize ethical practices, we can send a clear message that animal testing is unacceptable. Let's choose compassion over cruelty, and together we can create a world where all beings are treated with dignity and respect. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rayanne. Thank you. That's Rayanne Pena, one of my honor students. And let's go to our next student who's here this morning. James King is here, ready with his honors presentation. So, James, good morning, and whenever you're ready to start.
Good morning. My name is James King, and I'm here to deliver an informative speech about project management. Do you mind if I clear my throat?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. In the modern era, the name of the game is producing products, services, and results as efficiently and quickly as possible with no hiccups. Across the board, project management has emerged as a fundamental discipline for organizations aiming to achieve their goals efficiently and effectively. Industries from software development, construction, to marketing all use project management templates. In this essay, I explore the essence of project management, its key principles, and the main challenges faced in the process. Project management is the process of planning, organizing, and executing tasks in order to achieve specific objectives within a time frame and budget while making effective use of resources. It encompasses a range of processes, methodologies, tools, and techniques aimed at guiding a project from initiation to completion. The life cycle of a project involves the general steps of initiation, planning, executing, monitoring, and concluding. The stage of initiation is similar to a business proposal where you figure out what it is you are doing, specifying your goals and values, summarizing the need you are trying to fill, and making a proposition as to how you plan to fill it. The next stage of planning is where the actual design of the workflow happens. This is called the planning stage. This is where you figure out all the production processes of how you plan to go about making the actual product, service, or result. In this stage, it is determined who is doing what they're working with, and who will they be working with. Sorry. The execution of the plan follows, along with the managerial processes of control and monitoring until the product objectives are achieved and can be concluded. Next point I will go over are the key principles of project management, which are time, budget, and scope. Scope is the defined features and functional requirements of the outcome of the project. The necessary functions must be explicitly laid out according to the needs of all stakeholders involved in the project. Time is managed by a set beginning and definitive endpoint for the project. Based on past observations and predictions, each step of production is allocated a set amount of time to be completed. Budget is the wise allocation of resources in order to efficiently create a result. A project outcome should be completed within budget, on time, and meet all the preconceived standards of function and quality. However, despite meticulous planning and execution, projects often encounter challenges that can halt progress and prevent success. Common challenges include scope creep, which is where project requirements expand beyond the initial scope, leading to delays and budget overruns. Additionally, resource constraints, insufficient stakeholder engagement, and unforeseen risk can derail even the most well-planned out projects. Even more, managing diverse teams with varying skill sets, backgrounds, and priorities requires strong leadership and interpersonal skills to maintain collaboration and cohesion. In conclusion, the art of project management is indispensable for any company or individual hoping to achieve a meaningful outcome in any endeavor. By sticking to key principles, staying aware of challenges and pitfalls, and implementing effective strategies in a timely and efficient manner, project managers can achieve successful outcomes amidst uncertainty and change. As companies and technologies evolve, the art of project management remains paramount in the race to stay ahead, chase innovation, and achieve visions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you both for coming in and presenting your honor speeches with me this morning. I am proud of all of my students who have done that today. But 100% participation. So that warms my little teacher heart to see you all here this morning. So thank you, audience, for joining us as well to hear the results of the semester from my honors students. Again, these students have chosen to take this class for honors credit, and if they take enough classes for honors credit, they will graduate with honors at graduation ceremonies here at San Juan College. I'm Scott Micklin. Have a great rest of your Monday. I'll see you again tomorrow morning a little after 8 o'clock right here on KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.